years, humble beginnings, right back into the, if any of us remember the recession in 08 and 09, that was my jump into the healthcare staffing industry, completely changed. And yes, we did have a very unique beginning. We actually, I'd say arguably had all of the pieces of the puzzle in place when we started. And I'm talking, obviously, your business development, your recruiters, your back office, literally everything we were able to piece together in the early days. And that helped set the stage for the growth and everything that we've seen in the 6 years since then. As far as the company, we're located in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm proud to say I'm born and raised in O-Town here. So we're part of this very large healthcare staffing agency community here in Omaha.
Yes, it is a big area for healthcare staffing. That's for sure. A lot of great companies out there.
Absolutely. Yep. And we're definitely proud to be one of them and taking part in areas such as this as a podcast in any way or shape or form we can help the traveling audience out there, we'll do it. But as far as Ventura, we're built on the idea that people are our greatest asset. We're veteran owned. I'm proud to say I'm one of them. And
yes, thank you for your service, Jeff.
Thank you. And then we just, you know, our mission is to positively change people's lives and obviously impact patient care. And that's through our travelers on the facility side. And then I guess lastly, the last plug I'll throw in there, we're happy to say we were recently named to the Inc. 5000 list of America's fastest growing companies.
Well, congratulations on that. That's absolutely quite an achievement. And considering too, that you got involved kind of in the depths of the recession, that's a great growth story to tell. That's for sure.
Yes.
So Jeff, just to kind of move into the housing related questions and issues that we wanted to cover here, you know, is it typical for most staffing agencies to provide housing for their travelers? I know some do, some don't. Could you talk a little bit about kind of what the industry standard is, if you will, for housing when it comes to travelers?
Absolutely. Well, it's kind of ironic. My beginning into this industry, I think that was when everybody was just kind of pulling themselves together, identifying the areas that needed the most attention in terms of providing those resources for the travelers.
Yeah.
Early on, I would say no, there were not existing housing departments or teams. However, that actually did a very quick flip there. I'd say around 2010, a lot of companies started creating their own, and many of those grew to very large units and have obviously their full devotion was to helping out with that staffing or with the housing piece through the travelers. Now, I'd say it's pretty rare that you're going to find any company that has a department solely dedicated to that. Obviously, the advent of the internet and all of the additional things on there now, which we'll get into in a little bit. But I'd say, yeah, historically it was there. Now, I'd say it's very rare.
Yeah, and so when we talk about housing, particularly for healthcare professionals that may be thinking about becoming travelers or just getting started in the business, what are some of the biggest challenges that travelers will face relative to housing? What are some of the things they have to consider as they're looking at traveling for the first time?
Well, it's a great question, and obviously the part of the reason we're on this call is to kind of help provide some guidance and solutions. Every year, at least internally here, our marketing team sends out a survey to our travelers. We just want to gauge their feelings, get their thoughts on a number of different topics. And ironically, one of the main questions we ask, you know, what are the challenges that you face as a traveler?
Yeah.
And we actually just completed the survey I'm referencing. And for the second year in a row, our travelers indicated that finding housing was their number one challenge.
Really? Okay.
And to expand on that, some of the difficulties that they find is, first and foremost, affordable housing. Obviously, most of us are having to work for a living for a reason. We're not independently wealthy, so we want the best bang for our buck. The big piece we also like to see, or that we see a lot, is determining and finding pet-friendly housing. We are big proponents of the pet-friendly piece and the support that they provide while traveling along with their nurses or therapists out there. And one little plug I'll throw in, at our last StravCon, we did partner with a group there in Las Vegas that we had service dogs. So we had those at our booth. And so that was just a kind of a total visual demonstration of our dedication to supporting the pet-friendly folks out there.
Yeah, that was a big hit last year, Jeff, and that was a lot of fun for the travelers to see those beautiful dogs out there. So it was great that you were able to sponsor that. We appreciate it. That was a huge hit. Just when we go back to some of the issues relative to housing, are there any, as you work with first-time travelers, are there any misconceptions they may have about housing coming into an assignment, or as you're speaking to them about assignments, do they come in with any preconceived notions about housing, that it's, you know, that it's easy, or that it's, you know, no trouble finding housing? What are some of the misconceptions you see sometimes with people coming into the business?
Well, especially with first-time travelers, they really don't have a clue. They might have heard tidbits here and there, and as we all know, the rumor mill and what we see out on social media isn't always accurate.
Yeah.
And that's why I think one big piece we offer to our, especially the first timers, we have a housing toolkit. That's our title for it. And basically any housing related questions, we reference our folks to go to venturamedstaff.com/blog, and you can check that out. I'm going to throw that one in there right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But the other piece is we understand that they're coming from a limited knowledge base on housing and just how challenging and difficult it can be. So we want to provide assistance right out of the gate. We kind of give them a good place to start and then help guide them throughout their journey until they find what they're needing. Yeah. And there's a whole list of things we can go through. I know the key component is just identifying the type of accommodation that best fits their needs. Do you need a furnished apartment or hotel style type of a facility? All of those things, the pet friendly, all of that we'll kind of dive into probably, I think, a little bit more.
Yeah. You touched on a topic that we see a lot in our Gypsy Nurse Network discussion group on Facebook. And we have a housing group as well, but you know, furnished housing has become a very hot topic, and you know, particularly too for travelers, we're talking about longer term stays, right? These are not 1 week or a few days like somebody's on vacation. These are, as we both know, 13 week assignments, or you get extended 26 weeks, 52 if you're lucky. You know, you're out there for quite a while, so. Obviously, as part of that, one of the options is furnished housing and so forth. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that, some of the resources you guys work with, some of the organizations that you might recommend to find that.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a hot topic, as I think you alluded to there. Yeah. Furnished housing, they, you know, move in ready. They don't want to have to worry about those types of things. And so that has grown exponentially. In fact, it's one of the most commonly searched things for travelers when they're going through the resources and trying to determine what style best fits them. And yes, we do use a number of resources that we'll walk through with the travelers, or even obviously reference to if they want to take the time to do so themselves. Big one, furnishedfinder.com. I'm sure everybody's heard of that one. Their specialization is in fully furnished properties. These are apartments, actual houses, or just rooms and condos, depending again on what the individual's looking for. And kind of a pro tip, when you're completing a housing request on Furnished Finder, you kind of want to stress that how excited you are about being a part of the local community, being involved, and that you're maybe even having trouble trying to find something that fits your budgets. Because then through that source, these requests go out to pretty much every landlord in the area that are associated with Furnish Finder.
Yeah, they're a wonderful organization. They're also a sponsor of TravCon as well as the Gypsy Nurse. So they're a wonderful organization. I know there's some others, obviously Airbnb and Sublet.com and Furnished Housing. Any pieces of information you want to provide on some of those other organizations as well?
Yeah, I mean, Airbnb is obviously very common. That had its heyday, I'd say, gosh, five or 10 years ago. Well, not even 10, probably 5 or 6 years ago. It was the hot one then. In addition to that, you know, those are the still your both short and long-term rentals. Travelers can really kind of filter through things and depend and determine what's best. Sublet.com has become more popular, but it's also unique because the traveler or the individual looking for the facility, they're able to communicate directly with these landlords. And so you don't have to deal with an actual contract and straight up online communication. And then you've got the Furnished Finder or furnishedhousing.com.
Yes. Yep.
They have I'd say kind of your upscale, more stylish apartments. They're obviously furnished and accessorized. They actually have professional designers that go in and set these up. So, you know, if you're looking for something a little on the upscale side, that's where you probably want to go.
Sure. Yeah. Now the other topic that's being discussed kind of in traveler housing circles is this aspect of hotel style accommodations. But these will obviously be extended stay or longer term types of stays, as mentioned, where usually most contracts are 13 weeks. Some of them are 8, but nonetheless, that's an extended stay type of situation. So what about those sorts of resources? What advice would you give there for hotel style accommodations?
Well, yeah, it's obviously another important piece to the whole housing dilemma when we're getting going. That hotel style accommodation is your longer term option. Obviously, if anybody likes a free breakfast, that's the first thing I'm going to throw out there.
I do.
Yes. I don't know many people out there that would turn away a free meal, especially breakfast. Best meal of the day.
Right.
But obviously they have that. They also have other little perks like housekeeping. They obviously might have a pool or gym amenities, things like that. So it's you know, just a different way to approach things when you're going in to try and determine what's the best piece fit for you. I don't know if you've heard of Hotel Engine.
Yes.
Our recruiters do use that to help find hotel style housing. Mm-hmm. And the rates are actually up to 60% off nationwide. So that's a good one to look into.
Great information for travelers. Yeah.
Yes. And if you're old school like me, the old ESAs, the Extended Stay Americas, that is what I was probably most familiar with back in my early days. With that, extended stays tended to be the dominant one for those longer term contracts. And for those that don't know, extended stay, obviously they're known, you know, for a spacious environment. They tend to have more options, full kitchens, free Wi-Fi, laundry, pet friendly, all of that.
Which I, you know, from a traveler perspective, and we're all about kind of maximizing our income and saving money, those sorts of amenities, I would think, would be a great way to save money.
Yeah, absolutely. We're always looking to do that.
Absolutely. So the other kind of sub portion of that would be apartment style housing. Can you tell the travelers a little bit about that and what's involved in apartment style housing?
Yeah, it's basically just that's geared more towards anything beyond your standard 3 month or 13 week contract. The apartment style housing is usually the best since it offers a little more flexibility, but also some personalization. And just real quick, there's a couple spots that we use and reference apartmentlist.com and apartmentguide.com.
Okay. A great resource information there. Kind of segueing into Ventura MedStaff and how you guys work specifically with travelers in terms of you know, helping to assist with housing. What are some of the pro tips that you would have for travelers? Obviously, you know, working with your recruiter has got to be first and foremost, I would assume, right? So maybe you can kind of start off with that. How do particularly first time travelers, how do you guide them in working with recruiters on housing related issues?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Number one, your recruiter. Ask that recruiter for help. They've obviously got the industry knowledge and maybe even have already done some research on your behalf on the area that you're in. So they can offer local insights, maybe recommend certain specific resources that'll cater to what they're looking for. And obviously kind of just navigate through any of the potential challenges out there. And that would include housing scams, if you've heard anything about those.
And I want to get to that topic too in a little bit, because unfortunately they're out there, and people have to be aware of the housing scams. But I know it just in terms of travelers that are searching on their own and trying to search locally. Any advice there?
Absolutely.
On their own, yeah.
That's actually pretty much number two on our list of what we go through here. But yeah. For locally, we'll book what we tend to recommend. You're new to an area, you don't necessarily know enough about it. So maybe book a hotel for the first week of an assignment, explore the area, determine if that is the right area for you. And then that way you can maybe, we've seen it too many times to count. Somebody does that. They quickly determine there's no restaurants nearby, or maybe it's really close to, unfortunately, a bad neighborhood. So then they want to make a move, but that allows you that flexibility to not be locked into any long-term rental. And then obviously waiting until you physically arrive at the location, that may allow you to uncover some local rental options that are only available once you're physically there. They might not be advertised online. So just simply meeting residents or hearing what might be the best places for you once you're there. And that's especially in rural areas.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I think that local research is really important, isn't it? Where if you've never been to that city or particular area before, you got to know what's available, what's around you, and all those sorts of things.
Absolutely. And then beyond that, we'll start with extended stays. For reliable housing, I would always point someone towards extended stays. They're typically very close to a facility. Yeah. The pricing is reasonable. And of course, they come equipped with all of those amenities that we mentioned earlier. And you can upgrade once you get there. So there's a lot more flexibility again there. And a unique one that we tend to also dig into is what we call a team up or a duo. And that's basically one traveler connecting with another to split housing costs. Obviously, that could turn a previously unaffordable option into something that they can work together. And then obviously that expands housing choices during the assignment. And again, it's like having a roommate. You're splitting up the rent.
Yeah, that's really good advice, Jeff. And that's not something that we see talked about an awful lot. But yeah, the aspect of teaming up is a great way to save money. Just as an aside, in terms of teaming up with somebody, how do you guys advise travelers to connect or find each other relative to that? Is that something that Ventura Med staff will help with if there are other travelers that are in the same facility on assignment, or how does that connection made?
That's pretty well spot on. If you have, obviously our goal is to have multiple travelers in the same facility. So our recruiters will work together to connect those folks, recommend, hey, looking into this. And long story short, they end up basically being the mediator between any communication there. But then, because obviously you're not just going to pal up with somebody who you don't know that well, there's going to be some considerations there. So they do a good job of matching up people with similar characteristics and try and do the best. I don't want to say matchmaking, but that's ultimately what it is.
That's awesome. Any other pro tips you would have for particularly for first time travelers?
Yep. The last one, talk to the landlords, reach out, try and have a phone conversation. obviously what we do is a sales focused industry. So there should be a lot of phone calls, but that's where you're going to actually get a little more out of it and probably have a better understanding. Obviously, if you're having trouble finding a house that fits your budget, that's when you most definitely should reach out to the landlords. They, if anything, may know somebody else who offers housing that's more in your price range and kind of do a referral to that. And then obviously you can't always get a hold of people. They're tough to reach, but we have put together an actual script that's available on our blog. And that kind of helps travelers on how to approach the landlords directly.
Oh, fantastic. Well, again, I think travelers are always appreciative of any resourceful information that can be provided. So that sounds like a great blog that folks should check out. Just a few minutes left here, Jeff, with our podcast, but I want to get to a couple of more questions here. You touched on it earlier, but can you talk a little bit more about travelers that travel with pets? We see a lot of that with travelers, you know, that want to bring their dogs or their cats or a variety of other pets with them on assignment. And just any other piece of advice you might want to provide to travelers regarding traveling with pets?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we're big proponents of the furry friends coming along with our travelers, and we actually encourage it. So we definitely have some recommendations and some advice in those areas. Obviously, pet friendly housing, there are limitations, in some cases up to 75%. But we do our best to kind of help walk them through, and we have a few things that we like to pass along so that'll make the process a little easier on them. Big one that people tend to just simply forget, get references for your dog or your cat or whatever. I don't know, maybe it's a lizard. Letters of recommendation from past landlords, dog sitters, veterinarians, or even just friends that can attest to how well-behaved the animal is. Those can go a long way.
I have never heard of that before, Jeff. That just shows the value of having somebody like yourself on this podcast. I have never heard that. So that there is such a thing as references for travel pets.
There is.
I did not know that. So that's really interesting.
And it just shows what you're willing, the links you're willing to go to not only keep your friend, your pet with you, but also be respectful of the locations that you might be staying at and doing that. And there's a couple other more obvious things. Offer to crate your pet while you're away at work, while a nurse is doing their normal 12-hour shift. Offer to do so. That's going to just kind of reassure the landlords that the dog will be limited in the areas that they can move around unsupervised in.
Wow. Great information, Jeff. I learned something. I learned something new today. Great information. So just to start to, wrap up here with a topic, unfortunately there are scams out there. We see it. I know it's very difficult to prevent at times, and some of them unfortunately are getting so inventive and devious. Sometimes it's really hard to, figure out the scams or what folks are trying to scam you on. But could you talk a bit about that and, what scams to be aware of specifically? Because I know there's several types what travelers should watch out for.
Oh, absolutely. And again, this is a very important part of it as well. We're in unfortunately, the day and age where there's any and every attempt to basically scam people. So whether it's via phone, text, email, whatever. So as far as the housing side of it, just a few to be aware of that we tend to see a lot. We have little names for them here. The too good to be true listing. I mean, that goes without saying, but basically listings that offer really high-end luxurious amenities at low prices. That should be a red flag right there. We advise just to verify the property's existence, ensure the legitimacy before initiating any type of payment. upfront cash demands, big red flag. Be cautious of the request for large payments up front. Yes, there might be a deposit, especially if you have a pet. But other than that, legitimate landlords will tend to provide kind of more formal lease and secure a payment option versus just demanding a large sum. The old invisible landlord's another one. They're unavailable for in-person meetings, but they insist on all communications being remote. I'd steer clear of that one. You've got your, like we see in the industry, we're in sales, but obviously on that side, there's high pressure sales as well. Sure. So don't give in to those pressure tactics. Just always ask questions and don't commit to anything until you've done your due diligence. There's the bait and switch. You got to ensure the property that you are shown actually matches the one in your rental agreement. And that's a scary one because this means you're physically seeing it, you're agreeing to it, you leave, but then your agreement actually references a different property. So that's another one to be watching out for. And then just your overpayment scams, the ones where you're asked to refund the difference, things like that. Yeah. And then, of course, the one we referenced in the beginning, they're just fishing for personal information.
Yeah,
they have no housing available, but they're advertising they do. And we all need to protect our personal information and obviously verify the legitimacy of anyone asking for certain, you know, sensitive details. Because I think. We just preach, obviously, safety and comfort come first. So if it doesn't feel right, trust your instincts and reach out for support. With us, that would be the recruiter here at Ventura Med Staff. And there's a few other things like social media groups that you can get information. And of course, researching the area where you're looking at being.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Jeff, that's a great overview of the different scams and things to watch out for. It's so unfortunate that these scams happen, and B, particularly for everything that healthcare professionals do for us as a society and as people, to have unscrupulous people out there that may target these groups because they do travel for these scams is just really it's unconscionable. But as you said, the reality is it does happen, and you have to be aware of these things and trust your gut instincts. But it's nice to know that you and your team are behind them 100%. So if they're feeling uncomfortable or something doesn't sound right or whatever, they can always go to their recruiter or Ventura Med Staff and talk to them and let them know what's happening. Right?
Absolutely. That's the key ingredient to a long and fruitful partnership, and that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, just to wrap up here again, this is great information, and I think our traveler community will be very, very pleased to get this. Talk to us a little bit more about some of the resources that are available on your site regarding housing, how they reach Ventura Med Staff if they're interested in learning more about housing or just how to travel with your organization in general. How do they find out more? How do they get in touch with you and your team?
Well, I appreciate the offering and absolutely all of our housing resources are located in the blog section of our website. And that again is VenturaMedStaff.com. Or of course, we'd be happy to get you connected with one of our recruiters who are full of knowledge and are eager to help in any way. That's what they're here for. And the blog, by the way, is called Traveler Housing Resources.
Fantastic. Well, I'm sure people will be checking that out. And Jeff, I just want to thank you for appearing on our podcast today. I think our travelers are really going to love this information. It's great to hear from an experienced organization and person like yourself that has been doing this for a long time. And we all know that housing is one of the top issues with healthcare traveling in general. So certainly great information. And we appreciate you and your organization being a sponsor of TravCon. You guys are fantastic. We love the fact that you work with us. So appreciate your taking the time today to join us.
No, I appreciate you having me. And hopefully, the information that we've discussed is beneficial and can obviously help someone get through the challenges of finding housing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, he is Jeff Schaffer, the CEO of Ventura MedStaff. My name is Steve Curtin, the CEO of The Gypsy Nurse and TravCon. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us for the Healthcare Traveler and Travel Nursing podcast for TravCon. And we hope to have you and members of your team back for another session in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.